everyone. I'm Victory Springsteen, and you are listening to Eyes Up Here with Springsteen on the iHeartRadio Network or wherever you get your podcast. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Chad. Chadster, what's going on?
Oh my gosh, the Chadster is locked and loaded and ready to explode on the Eyes Up Here
universe. I don't want you to explode on the Eyes Up Here universe or whatever you just said. It's gross.
Maybe that should have been a couple episodes ago.
That's
bad.
Like, what?
What? I'm sorry.
What are you talking about? You're
nothing.
Disgusting. Ew. Gross.
The jester of jeering has returned.
Oh, yeah. Anything new since I last saw you?
Oh, my God. No, it's been a crazy week. Devon Dudley joined us last week. It was awesome.
And yeah.
We're back for another round yet again.
You know, today's guest is pretty unique. I literally pulled him out from under a rock. A lot of people have not heard from him in years. I don't think, maybe he has done one, but I don't think he's ever done a podcast before in his life. I could be wrong.
I don't remember. I mean, I've interviewed them all, and yeah. I don't remember his name popping up anywhere. And some say, you might say under a rock, but I might also say you helped put him on the map.
I think I did. Oh, you just reminded me to tell that story.
Yes.
Oh, right.
That's why I'm here.
That's right. Oh, my God. I forgot about that. Yeah, I'm going to tell that story when we talk to him. He's going to join us in a couple minutes here. I was so excited because he's been resurfacing as of late. And I just saw him at the Wrestling Universe a couple weeks ago. And I was like, dude, you got to come on because millions of people listen to this podcast and it'll get you so much exposure.
Absolutely. That's an understatement.
Yeah. And he wants to be booked for WrestleCon. So promoters, if you're out there, I can't say his name yet because, you know, but this guy is the guy. You will make bank if you book this person in a couple minutes. We'll see who it is. But
has he ever been back at the arena? I don't even know. Like in that area? I don't know. I'm not even sure.
He just started working again and doing appearances like conventions.
Yeah, I saw that. He is working again, right?
He is working again.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw a picture over the weekend.
Did you? He won a tag title.
Yeah, I saw that. He looks great.
He does look great. He's in great shape. It was funny because when I had first seen him, it was at that convention at the mall. I forget where I was. Rockaway Mall?
90s con.
Yeah, was it the Rockaway Mall or something?
Yep.
And it's the first time I had seen him. And in years and years, I haven't seen him. And so we're like talking about our kids and our spouses and everything and blah, blah, blah. And I show him a picture of my kids. He shows me a picture of his kids. And then he shows me a picture of a pizza. He's like, really proud of this pizza. I made it myself. And I'm just like, oh, okay. And then he goes, you want to see when I was fat? Shows me a picture. It's like so fat. I was just like, okay, that's great. But this guy, I've always been friends with, like good friends with him. And we've talked a little here and there, but I just haven't seen him in so long. So I'm so excited for him to come on today. And, you know, I would love to get him booked on things and get him back in the mix. You know, I try to do that with my friends. Like if you talk to Sandman, he'll say to somebody, Francine gets me all my bookings and she knows my schedule better than I do because he has no clue what's going on. So if I can help him out, I will. And it'll be fun. I love getting the band back together. You know, it's just with people that I like, it's such a pleasure doing these shows. And I used to hate traveling so much because it would just be me. And I hated going to appearances by myself. It's so boring. And now I basically try and book myself with my friends all the time. And that's the way to do it.
That's the way. No better way to do that.
Fun. Yeah. I'm super pumped. So we'll get him here. Actually, let me send it to him now. Okay. So this is a guy that I found, like I said, from under a rock. Oh my God, he's in his car because he's such a cool guy. Guys, it's Chris Chetty. Look at you. You're driving.
Can you see me? I can barely see anything because I'm old and blind.
I see you. Are we not home yet? Are we on a bridge? Where are we?
I'm in Boston, Francine. I'm going to Calhoun's. Come on. Don't you know where I am?
I went there like a year and a half.
Of course we all went there. That's exactly where I'm headed right now.
I went there after, during a signing because that's where I was signing.
Come on. You got to go to Calhoun's when you're in Boston. You know about it. Come on, girl.
I drank.
We know about Calhoun's.
Chris, I drank 8 Mai Tais, and I was so drunk. I was so drunk that they put me on to do like a whatnot where you sell stuff like a QVC host. I was so drunk I don't even remember the string. But anyway,
8 Mai Tais, I'd be singing karaoke, and I'm terrible at karaoke. So what the hell?
Well, listen, I was just before
I gotta be me, Franny. I gotta be me. I'd be singing it.
I was telling everybody how close we were and how I'm trying to get you back in the mix of everything.
Don't say that too loud. I don't want too many people to know that.
See, that's what's wrong with you, because if no one knows, no one will book you. I go, what about Twitter? And he goes, are you on Twitter? And he goes, we follow each other on Twitter. I go, we do?
For the last five years, we've followed each other. The problem is I haven't tweeted probably since 2022. Maybe once. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not big onto the Twitter.
You have to get into the social media pool. Chris, I'm making
TikTok videos now. Oh, I'm going to do TikToks. Yeah.
Are you a TikToker?
I'm blowing whistles and dancing, and I got fucking glow lights. I got the whole shit going on.
Chris,
are you kidding me? I'm going to have a whole channel of me going like, yo, party people, what's happening?
Do you remember when you and I went to a club and they had glow sticks? You and I were the only people that went to this club. Do you remember this?
Of course. We were dancing like this and doing all this kind of shit. Yeah.
Woo! We went to this club. I don't know how we went there. It must have been an indie show. Couldn't have been ECW because it was only you and I. But we were at
You know
club.
What? This. It's all such a blur.
I don't think you really remember
you
the
know
story.
That?
You don't remember the story. We were listening to the people through the walls. Do you remember all this? I remember it like it was yesterday.
No, I don't remember this at all.
In the room, we were.
Are you sure it was me?
I am 100% positive it was you. And we went to
this club. There's a good chance it was me.
Everybody had glow sticks, and you were going up to people. And you were just saying the most obscene shit that you could think of. And people were like, get it out of my face. Like, he was healing people with the glow sticks. It was so fun. It was great. But I don't even.
You remember the BAM light?
Yes! Oh my God! Can you tell that story? That's a good one. We're not even getting into you with your comeback yet, but this is a good story.
Well, I think we might have been in like Lauderdale. I forgot where we were. We were out somewhere, and we were out at a club, and for some reason, you know, like the bouncer had this light that if there was a fight on the dance floor, they would use this light to shine. To like light up the whole entire club, and somehow me and Danny got the light in our hands, and we kept turning it on every time somebody would walk by. We would bam them. We would take this, like, you know, it's like a like the light on the front of a freight train, and just we had the button to turn it on, and we had it in our hands. And every time somebody would walk by, we would go bam and turn the light on, and people were like falling down. People were spilling drinks all over the place, going blind, crying, falling off the bar. I mean, it was all kinds of shit happening.
We were
BAM lighting people the whole night.
Yeah, because we were all sitting at the bar and it was real dark. And then when that light turned on, it was just like a halo was around the curtain. That was Fort Lauderdale.
Came out all of a sudden.
That's so great. Oh, my
ridiculous.
God. There were so many. Well, we have to talk about more stories, but I want to talk to you first about this comeback, because you were gone for like 17 years. No one. Yeah.
I kind of took a little time off. I figured, you know, I needed a little break.
Okay.
Well, you know, to be honest, Franny, I never really, I was out of the business for reasons that are just life. You know what I mean? Like, I had kids and a family and, you know, I have five children. And, you know, wrestling just wasn't enough to support my family. I just wasn't making the money, whether I wasn't any good at it or whatever the fuck it was, whatever the reason. I just didn't make money and I couldn't survive doing it. And when I was doing independent shows at the time, I was doing it for money and I wasn't doing it because I loved to do it. I mean, I still love to do it, but I was really doing it more for the money. And it just wasn't fun anymore because I was working a regular job during the week, two regular jobs during the week. Plus, on the weekends, I was bouncing at clubs, wrestling on the weekends. So, I mean, I was literally working like every single day, 7 days a week, 2 to 3 jobs. Sometimes I would wrestle a show in the morning on Saturday, like an early show, like a noon show, and then a late show, and then leave the second show and go to the club and bounce till 5 o'clock in the morning, get up, go do another show, drive a few hours, come back, show up at the club at midnight and work till 4 o'clock in the morning. And I just was so burnt out.
Yeah.
And I kept trying to hold on to the business because I loved being in the business, but it just wasn't sustainable anymore. And I just came to the reality that if I didn't make it at that point, that I had just way too much responsibility as a man, as a father. I grew up without a dad. And I didn't want my kids to grow up without a dad around, whether I was alive. My father died when I was young. And I didn't know him. I didn't have a relationship with him. And I didn't want that for my children. I just, nothing was more important to me than having a relationship with my children. It's still the most important thing with, you know, with my family, my wife, my family. So I just decided it was time to step away from it all. And I did. I mean, I did one show in 2013 because I wanted my kids to see me do it at least one time. So I got in shape a little bit. I did a show. Me and Nova did a show together. And at the time, I was like, that's probably going to be the last show I'll ever do. And that was 2013. That's 11 years ago. And, you know, over the course of the 11 years, I kind of let my health go a little bit. I wasn't in shape. I really let myself get, you know, go far in the wrong direction. And, you know, about 2 years ago, I really started to get control of my life again, like get in shape and get healthy and all that other stuff again and working out and back into martial arts training. And my kids are older now. My youngest is going to be 17 and they didn't really remember me doing it. And I just said, yeah, I know. Can you believe that? Mm-hmm. I just said, if I'm ever going to have a chance to do it again, I'm going to do it again now. And I decided to just, I called Brian, you know, I called Brian Myers. I went down to Creator Pro. I worked out for a while, a couple of times in the ring, just to, first of all, to see if it was even possible, because again, I had been away for 11 years and it was like, I stepped back into the ring and it was like, I never left. I mean,
right.
Of course I'm not, you know, I'm not that guy anymore.
You're always going to be that guy.
Well, but I, you know, physically, of course I had major back surgery, you know that, right? In 2008. I had my whole lower back. I had, you know, a 5-level fusion in my lower back. I had that done. And, you know, my neck is still pretty bad. I have 7 herniated in my neck. So I probably shouldn't be doing this at all. But I'm taking it slow. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm coming back into the business. But I did a show for Brian. And then I did another show Saturday night. Those are the first two shows that I've done. I don't have anything else booked right now. I haven't planned
Chris,
on.
Let me stop you. Saturday night, you won the tag straps. So, oh
right.
God, there you are. You won the
go
tag.
Ahead, Franny, I'm sorry, we got cut off.
You won the straps. You're tag team champion now.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh boy.
Oh Jesus! What the hell?
Did I lose you?
No, you're here.
Ah.
You're here. Oh my God.
What happened?
All right, should I tell him to reclick?
What the fuck?
Chris!
I'll kick him out. He just clicked back in, even though he's driving safely. Just as we're building to the crescendo of the tag team championship win.
I'm going to call him and tell him real quick.
Yeah, I lost you, Frank.
Yeah, when that happens, for some reason, it's probably because you're driving and you hit a dead zone. Just go back to the link and re-click it.
Okay.
Okay? All right.
Yeah.
He's hilarious, isn't he?
He's got, I have to say, for driving, he's got better audio than Devon did.
He's better than people stationary.
Yeah.
Got into an accident on 90, so that's good.
You did? Perfect.
Yeah, I almost just sideswiped a brand new Jeep, so that would have been good.
But you know, this is more important than that. So,
of course. Come on. Nothing's more important than this.
What I was going to say is you are the tag team champion of the world now. So the booking
yes, I am.
In. You are. So you're going to get booked in that Fed. You know that.
People have been asking me to work. I haven't answered really anybody. You know, to be honest with you, my wife is really against me working.
Of course number one. She is.
She doesn't want me to do it. And I don't blame her because, listen, I really have suffered physically for a long time. But again, I let my health go in a lot of different areas. I just was so busy working. I just didn't pay attention to that. I wasn't working out. I wasn't doing those things. And I am doing those again. So I feel good. I did that one show. I felt good. I feel fine. I would like to do some more, but we'll see.
All right. So here's the deal. Okay.
Go ahead.
I told the story about, the first time I saw you in years was at Rockaway Mall when we did the 90s con, and we were showing each other our kids on our phone, and then you showed me a pizza that you were really proud to make. And then you showed me a picture of you really fat because you got really fat. Now, you've gotten in tremendous shape since then, right? Here's what we all do, because we're all friggin' old. Like, let's call it spade. We're old, right?
I'm an old man, pretty much.
When we do our shows, because there is that occasion when I have to step in the ring. I hate it, but it's part of the deal. Like, oh, if you do the convention, you have to do the show, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, okay, fine. You work around your weaknesses, and you focus on your strengths. Always book yourself in a tag or a six-man, so then you don't have to do a lot. You know what
book
I'm saying?
Book me in the battle royal. Come
Why
on.
Why not? Let's go. And eliminate the first minute. No one cares. You don't want to win that anyway. Give the younger kids the rub and get the hell out of there and get your payday. When we did a show, not this December, the one before. So 2022, they did an ECW show, right? I watched it when I came home. Chris, let me just tell you how sad. When we all tried to get in the ring, there were no ring steps. So we're all having.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was like we were all in slow motion.
It rolling was, under the bottom rope, yeah.
It was so sad. I said to myself,
can somebody bring me a ladder, please?
There
was no ringing steps. No time out here. Time out is valid in any sport. We have to have a timeout. I need a ladder to get in and out of the ring.
People love to see ECW alum for this nostalgia purposes. That's it.
Yes.
They know you're not going to have a five-star match. They don't expect you to.
That's a problem too for me though, because I don't know.
You want to have a five-star match.
Listen, in my mind, I can do all those things.
Sure. We all can.
But can I do all those things? Listen, that match I did Saturday, I've done more than that in the ring. With Brian at Creative Pro, I've not saying that I'm, you know, able to jump and do flips like, you know, you watch, you know, some of these guys that are still doing it that were with us. I mean, that have consistently done it, like Rob. I mean, it's impressive to watch because he still does his arsenal. I mean, for the most part, all of it. Yeah, like you said, I don't know if that's possible for me anymore. And I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, like I said, I'm taking it slow, one thing at a time. I'm not in a super rush to do anything. I haven't decided, really. I mean, this is a slow comeback.
Dipping your baby toe in the water really gently.
Baby steps, right? What was that movie? Baby steps? Fine. Yes.
That's fine. And you know, you don't have to always work. It's like we do these conventions and you're just sitting there and signing, which is brilliant because you're not taking any bumps. You know, it's kind of hard to get in and out of the chair for pictures. Like, you get really tired. Your hand hurts a little
bit. Do I have to get up again? Come on.
That's right. You know, sometimes I tell the guy, oh, come in the back. Lean over me. I'm going to sit in this chair. It's great.
Yeah, you should have, like, an aisleway with a chair next to you. That's, like, the setup you should have. Like, you have a table. You sit at the end of the table. And then there's a chair next to you at the table. So whoever needs their picture taken with you can come sit in the chair. And you know,
it's my cardio. Just,
hey, with your arm around them, like they're sitting next to you in the car. Like if somebody was sitting next to me, I go, "What's happening?" And that's it.
I know.
I like that setup. I like the way you think, Franny.
You could do that if you're really tired that day, but I let you know. It's my
what do you got to say? You got anything to say over there?
No, been quiet. I'm just listening.
Anything?
No, I'm just listening. No, I'm just glad that you're on a podcast.
Shit. Hit me with some shit. Come on.
I'm not ready yet.
Thank you.
I want you guys. I want you guys to speak first.
I have a little tidbit for you, Chris, and I don't know if you know this, but do you know how you got your first win, your first singles win in ECW? Your first big singles win and how you dropped the rookie? Remember you were the rookie Chris Chetty for a while?
I did drop the rookie for a while, yes. I don't remember. How did I get my first win?
You dropped the rookie because of me. 100% because of me. I'll tell you what happened. We were in, I want to say it was New York, right? And it was, I think it was a TV taping. Might have been Buffalo. I'm not really sure. Might have been the Burt Flickinger Center. I can't remember where we were.
Oh.
Anyway, it was a big one. And Paul was sitting at the table and he looked so perplexed, right? And I was walking by and I looked at him and I said, what's the matter? And he said, I'm stumped. And I said, what are you trying to do? He said, I'm trying to think of an opponent for Anthony Durante, Pitbull number two. Oh. And he says, and I can't think of anybody that could, you know, go over on him. And he goes, and I've been looking around. So I looked around, I saw you standing there and I said, let Chris Chetty wrestle him. Chris goes over and he drops the rookie because now he beat an established guy in the locker room. And Paul's face lit up like a Christmas tree. And he goes, that's brilliant. And he wrote it on like his napkin or whatever he was writing on at the time. And that's how you never told me that.
You never told me that before.
Yep. So you're welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
I never knew that.
Your career skyrocketed.
Look at how my career took off from there. Woo! He made it to the big time, Franny.
I thought it was a good idea. And so did
It was a good idea.
Yeah.
I don't think sounds Anthony like somebody, thought it was such a good idea, but.
It sounds like somebody should be thanking you in a Hall of Fame speech coming up now because of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
That was the one story. I was like, man, I don't know if I ever told Chris that story, but that's what happened. And that's how you got the rookie taken off your name.
I have a Burt Flickinger story if you want to hear one.
I would love to hear one.
So I was in the hospital. This might be why my wife was a little upset that I did this show. So I don't remember the dates. Okay. So I was in the hospital for about 7 days. I was coughing up blood, nothing major. I had like a pneumonia or something in my lung. I don't know. I woke up one morning. I didn't have any symptoms. Like, I was fine. I was good. I went into the bathroom. I had like a little, I got like a little thing in my throat. I cough it out and it's blood. Like, I was like, holy shit, I got blood, right? This was like 2 weeks ago. So.
Oh, this is recent.
Oh, yeah. This just happened, right?
I thought we were going back to 1999 or something. Okay.
No. I'm going to get to the Burt Flickinger part of it in a minute. So I ended up in the hospital for a week, right, with pneumonia or whatever, and I'm fine. But one of the doctors in the hospital, I guess, figured out who I was, and he comes into the hospital room, and he's like, ECW,
no.
ECW. And I'm like, what the fuck, right? So we get to talking, and he went to college at the University of Buffalo, and he used to go to the ECW shows in the Burt Flickinger Center. So he said, I went to every show at the Burt Flickinger Center. I said, oh, wow, that's unbelievable. I said, so were you there when I landed on Danny Doring's head and put him in a coma? And he goes, yeah, in fact, I was. They took him on a stretcher, so he remembered. I don't know if you remember that, but I did like a top rope springboard leg drop or something, and the rocket buster, as Taz wanted to call it, and I rocket busted Danny's head with my big giant ass, and he ended up in a coma for a couple days. Nothing big, nothing major.
Okay. So, wow.
I was just talking about the Burt Flickinger Center with one of my physicians in the hospital who was an ECW fan in college. So
isn't that great? Hey, when nice. they recognize you in the most obscure places. I had to go to the doctor for my hip because I thought I needed a hip replacement. Remember when I broke my pelvis? Remember when Bam threw me and broke? So I had to go to Rothman Institute, right? And I had to pull my pants down. And I'm standing there, and they're taking x-rays. And the doctor walks in with my pants down, and he goes, oh, my God. And I just looked at him. I went, no, not now. And he goes, oh, my God, I got to go call my friend right now. And he runs out of the room. So I'm just like, oh, did I offend him? Like, what's going on? And then he comes back in, and he's like, I had to call my friend. He used to go to all the ECW shows. And right then and there, I was like, great. Because I'm standing there in, like, my little underwear with my, you know.
Yeah, I'm standing here with my ass hanging out.
Yeah.
And the doctor had to run out of the room to call his friend?
Yeah.
That sounds a little fucked up to me, but hey.
I swear to you, that's what happened. I was just like, oh, my God. So it just happens in the weirdest, you know, the weirdest places.
Yes.
And then
you never know when you're gonna, somebody's gonna notice you.
Yeah, all the shows that he came to, and I'm standing, I was like, can I at least pull my pants up for this conversation? Because I'm a little embarrassed right now.
Yeah, this is a little nuts, but hey, you know.
It's a little crazy. But seriously, like, and you can tell Colleen this too, like, you need to just not, I know you wanna work, because, you know, it's fun and we've all been there and it's cool and everything, but the conventions are safe.
No, I don't think she would have a problem with any of that. No,
right.
No. I think
right.
She's just more worried about me getting hurt.
Absolutely.
Listen, I don't blame her. Listen, I'm not a young man anymore. I'm not an old man, but I'm old enough that it's,
we're like hovering in the middle right now, I'd say.
Yeah, you know? We used to talk about BAM lights and going out drinking, and now I'm like, my 401k is like 3% down, and I gotta call my endocrinologist, and you know, yeah, you got exactly. All these how are we paying for the kids' college tuition? Like, where the hell did all these problems come from?
Well,
it was nice and easy, like, oh, we gotta go to Boston, and then we gotta go to friggin' Cleveland, and then we gotta go to Florida. Oh shit, that sucks. But like, now I'd be like, please put me on a plane for like the next 3 weeks and not have anything else to think about would be great.
So let's talk about road stories. You hung out with you were in that van with Roadkill, right?
Yeah, we were in the ring truck too. Yeah.
Both of them.
You know what's so crazy? Like, I did an autograph signing for that guy Jack at Queens.
I saw you there.
Like, yeah, I know. You were there. I know. There. I know. But Spike was supposed to be there, too.
Right.
And I was talking to Danny and Roadkill, and we're like, we're at an autograph signing in Queens as the former ring crew for ECW, and we're doing an autograph. Me, Spike, him. Like, we were all on ring crew together, you know?
Yeah, but so you it was were like, all over, too. So...
I know, but I'm just saying, like, it was funny to say, like, the ring crew was doing an autograph signing. Like, that's how I thought about it. Like, the old ring crew gang was back there. But I didn't get to see Spike. Did he ever show up?
No.
No, he must have, something must have happened. I was looking forward to seeing him. I haven't seen him in so long.
Me neither. No. PJ showed up.
I did see PJ. I haven't seen him in...
Okay.
I only saw him for, like, a second out on the street. I was doing a...
street cred.
Like, whatever... Yeah, I was doing like a promo for Jack's place. Like, hey, I we sell toys and whatever the fuck they sell there. You know? Yeah. Right. Hey, we got all the merchandise and Crazy Eddie. Our prices are insane. You know.
Well, give me a story from back in the day, something crazy that you won't get in trouble for. If anybody hears this, I told Devon, like, you can tell a story and just substitute names if you don't want to get anybody in trouble, or just out them. Who cares? It's like 15 years later.
Anybody listening to this at all?
No, it's just us.
It's just the three of us. Oh, okay.
It's a private conversation among friends. You know, nobody's listening.
Just the conversation amongst friends.
Yeah.
So for the whole time, I was on Ring Crew. I don't know if you remember this, but in the back of the ring truck, at one of the shows. Well, let's go back. My wrestling at the time was so awful. Because I knew nothing about wrestling. You know that, right? Like, I was not a fan of wrestling at all.
Oh, yes, I do know that.
I was clueless, 100% clueless about the business.
So, wait, Chris,
right?
Can we just say you are cousins with Taz?
Yes.
For people who don't know that. So, you started off in, what was that called? Taz's little group. What were you
the House of Hardcore, they called
it.
Team Taz, right. Team Taz.
Yeah.
I was a member of the Team Taz, yes, and the Team Taz Dojo, yes.
Did he force you
Team
to get
Taz
involved?
For life. What?
Did Taz...
What was that?
Did
he force me?
Yeah. Was it Taz that...
Yes.
Okay.
It was indentured servitude, exactly. Yes, I had no choice in the matter.
Proceed.
But, at the time, my wrestling was so terrible that one of the fans made a beautiful sign that said, substituted my last name. So it said, Chris Shitty. And, of course, Roadkill found the sign, and he glued it to the inside of the ring truck so you couldn't get it off. And it was there, literally, the whole time ECW was in business. There was a Chris Shitty sign on the inside of the ring truck. So that's a little inside information for people that didn't know about it.
I didn't think you were a shitty wrestler when you started. I
suck. Come on. Let's be honest.
I loved the gimmick with the face. Like, this face.
Yeah. Like, my face is really not that good. It's mediocre at best, let's say, even when I was in my 20s. But I needed a gimmick, so it was the only one I had.
Love it. I loved it. I don't know. Man,
I thought it was funny, but
I thought it was
a little ridiculous.
Give me a travelodge story. Do you have one? Everybody has one. You have to have one.
I'm trying to think. That's so far.
You knew I was going to ask you funny stuff. Give me a funny story.
Travelodge. I mean, I know of stories from the Travelodge, like the Terry Funk story. You know the Terry Funk story, opening the doors and he separated his both shoulders? You heard that story?
I don't think so.
Yeah, he was like... What? I guess he was in the parking lot or something drinking and whatever, and he was on the phone. I don't remember what he was doing at the time. I think he might have been talking to his wife, and he went to open, like, the door... And the door was locked, and he pulled on it really hard, and he, like, separated his shoulder, and he did it, like, in the old Terry Funk, like, oh, my God, you know, I separated my shoulder. And then he tried the other door, and he did it, and he separated his other shoulders. He had literally, like, two separated shoulders. And he's like, oh, my God. And he was talking to his wife. That was a funny travel. I think that happened at the Travelodge. Yeah. I think Mikey could tell that story better if you talk to Mikey, because I think Mikey saw it. I think that's who I heard it from. I was only at the Travelodge a few times. That was early on. I think, and then we transferred over and we were all staying at the Holiday Inn.
Yes, because we used to go to Legends. Remember the bar Legends was in there?
Yes.
So we took a step up and we went to Legends.
So I'll tell you a story.
Yeah.
You want to hear a story? So we did a show.
Did we?
And I don't remember. It was a Philly show. It was a Philly ECW Philly show, I believe. And we went out with me and Danny, and a few people went out after the show with some local guys from Philly. So they brought us to like a Philly bar, right? Like a local bar in Philly. And literally, I was like at the end of the line of people to pay. Like, we had to pay like $3 or whatever to get into this place. So it was like Danny and a few people, and then a couple of these indie guys from Philly, and then me at the end. So everybody pays. So by the time they all paid to get in, which is like a minute, right? I pay my $3, walk into the club, and within 10 seconds, I'm in a full-on brawl within 10 seconds. Like, I walked up to the, I walk into the bar, and one of the guys from Philly was like, hey, this is my buddy, whatever. And the guy gave me like a fucking dirty look, and I'm like, what, do you want to fight? And he's like, okay. And I go, all right. So he fucking takes a swing at me. And then I fucking, I don't remember if I got, maybe got punched in the side of the head, and then I ended up kicking him. And then fucking, he was with like 10 guys, and they're like breaking bottles over my head and shit. So, yeah, literally the fastest, I am probably have the world record for the fastest bar fight in the history of Philadelphia. Which
did
is
you
a
get kicked out?
Fucking bold statement to say, because we've all been in Philly and we know about it. So there's a lot of fighting going on, but I may have the world record. I may hold the world record. I should probably be in the Guinness Book of World Records for the fastest bar fight in Philly. Yes.
Wait a minute. Did you get kicked out of the bar?
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I never knew this. I never heard that story.
We probably never told anybody that story because, well, he wasn't good to say it at the time. So you just heard it for the first time, an exclusive right here on your show.
Wow.
Isn't that unbelievable?
That's
you got an exclusive.
News.
It's breaking news, yes.
That's what we're going to use to promote this episode. Story that you've never heard
definitely.
In your life.
You've never heard this one unless you were there. I mean, a few people know that it happened. But
well, Chris, we do have the man that you fought waiting to come on to confront you right now.
You got him on the phone? Oh, wow.
I found
he's
him.
Called, we have any callers? Bring the callers out. Let's hear the callers.
The callers.
Call in. Who we got?
Oh,
caller number one, what do you got?
Yeah,
hello. Like, I just want to say that I was there at the bar that night, and it was definitely your fault. You're kind of a dick. And I go, of course I'm a dick. That's why I got no friends. What do you
and
think?
I also have the guy who made the Chris Shitty sign waiting. I do my investigation.
Him I got heat with. Come on. You should have known I knew nothing about professional wrestling. Who would have entered the business that knew anything about this business?
All joking aside, I feel
how does
like
somebody get involved in professional wrestling that knows nothing? I mean, I knew nothing about pro wrestling.
I didn't know anything.
Do you know
either.
This?
I just watched.
Like, I didn't know anybody.
I didn't either. I called the hotline. I called the ECW hotline.
That's how you got involved in wrestling?
I saw the commercial on Sports Channel Philadelphia, and it was like, hey, do you want to be a wrestler, a manager, or a referee? Call this number. I was working at an insurance company and hated my job. And I go, oh, I can do what these girls are doing. And I called the hotline. And that's it.
And you got involved.
I met Todd Gordon, and I started training. I didn't know anybody.
Who trained you?
JT Smith.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember JT.
Yeah, such a good guy.
What happened to him? Why did he stop wrestling?
He moved to, like, Virginia, I think. I was just with Todd Gordon, and I said, have you talked to JT anytime? And he was like, oh, a little while ago. He goes, he's still in Virginia. Hey, how's it going?
I'm trying to get in, trying to get on camera. I want people to see this shit. Yeah.
You look great. You're looking great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't know anything either.
Yeah, I was so oblivious. Like, I was wrestling Stevie Richards, like one of the first time I ever, probably the first time I ever wrestled him, right? And, you know, like there's a whole, like if you're not in the business, there's like a whole culture around professional wrestling. I was no clue, right? You probably too then, no clue.
Nope.
So we get in the ring, right? We call our match or whatever, and we get in the ring and we're doing our match. And he's like, oh, I'll just, you know, whatever. We'll call something out there. And then, okay, yeah.
Sure.
I don't even know what he's talking about, right? So he literally goes to shoot me into the ropes.
Oh,
And he hits me with something, and he goes, Ronnie Garvin. And I go, what the fuck are you talking about? Ronnie Garvin? Who the fuck is Ronnie Garvin? So I had to, like, stop him and, like, turn around. And I go, who the fuck is Ronnie Garvin? And he goes, huh? He goes, you don't know Ronnie Garvin. Like, this is the conversation we're having in the ring. Like, no fucking clue what he's talking about. Ronnie Garvin. You could have said fucking Santa Claus or fucking Easter Bunny, too. I wouldn't know what the fuck you're talking about. No clue. Oh, clueless.
That's great.
We were out one night. We did a show in Chicago, right? And afterward, I don't know. You ever go to Shaboom's, Franny? In Chicago? It was like an after hours place in Chicago. It was like a shady after hours joint. The guy that owned it was called Mr. Bill. I guess he was like an old wrestling referee.
Oh.
But it was like all old wrestlers and like, you know, it was like on the south side of Chicago. So it was like pimps and, you know, drug dealers and, you know, just it was nuts. And of course, pro wrestlers, because we fit right in with the helmet, right? So
yeah.
We're sitting at this table and shit. I want to try. I can't fucking remember who the guy is. I guess he was a big deal in pro wrestling. Like,
was it Ronnie Garvin?
It wasn't Ronnie Garvin, no, but it was. Fuck. How come I can't remember the guy's name? I'm terrible with names. But he was like somebody that was like a, you know. So basically we're sitting at this table, right? Damn it, I can't remember the guy's fucking name because it might be a better story. It wasn't Ric Flair, but it was like close to that level. It might have been somebody that was in the Four Horsemen. I don't know. It was somebody that was like one of the top guys in NWA. I just don't remember who it was.
All right.
So we're sitting at the table, and I don't have a fucking clue who this guy is, right? No clue. And it's like me and PJ and Danny, and there was a couple of other people there. But the guy's talking about wrestling, and then he starts talking about ECW. You guys don't know what the fuck you're doing, and blah, 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 blah. And I go, who the fuck have you ever beat?
I wrote every chair.
Right? Literally, I get kicked under the table like three directions. I go, what the fuck is the matter with you guys? I fuck this guy. Fuck him. I get up and I walk away and they're like, oh my God, do you know who that is? And they tell me who it is. I go, who? Fuck him, dude. I have no clue. And it turns out the guy actually has pretty much beaten every single person in the fucking business. Yeah, and I had no idea who he was.
Man, so, Chris, you might have came up with the who'd you ever beat gimmick.
No, I don't think I came up with that one. Yeah, I don't think I ever
so
came up with that.
So long ago, you might have.
That's been around. It's been around a while. Yeah.
That's a good story. That's a really
been
good
around.
Story.
Hey, defended ECW. No. I mean, can't go wrong there. He defended ECW.
Right.
Yeah, I had no idea what I'm doing. I had no business being in the business at all because I didn't know anything.
Pardon the brief interruption here on Eyes Up Here, featuring our guest Chris Chetty. We'd like to give you a instant payoff to the story featuring Chris Chetty's night inside of this after hours bar, as we found out after the interview that the one who was not identified in this scenario that Chris Chetty defended ECW was living legend himself, Larry Zbyszko. So add that for the context of the story you just heard. Now, back to Eyes Up Here.
Do you watch wrestling?
No.
Today?
No.
Not at all. Never.
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
Once in a while, if I hear something good happened, I'll either look it up, I'll find a clip, but I can't tell you the last time I sat there and watched a whole episode of something. Like, I think when I went to Florida to Disney, Impact was on TV. I watched that because it was on, and there's a couple of my friends that work there, so I just watched the hour. That's the first time I've sat down and literally watched it in the last decade, probably. Like, I don't really watch it. I'll watch clips.
Yeah, I don't watch that much. I watch some clips, but we got rid of our regular cable because now, like, everybody has these, like, you know, Netflix and Amazon Primes and all that other crap. So I got rid of the regular cable because nobody was using it, right? Except me. I'm, of course, the only one that watches it. And, of course, the only one that watches it now, I can't watch cable anymore. So I don't have it. Right? It's gone. bye-bye cable.
Aww.
So now I have to scroll through like Samsung TV, and I'm scrolling through, and it's like I could watch The Walking Dead reruns or I could watch Impact Wrestling. So I watch a lot of Impact Wrestling now. So I've watched more wrestling since I've gotten rid of cable than I've probably ever watched in my entire life.
What did you
And that's probably like, well, I've only watched like about 3 hours of it, but that's probably more than I watched in my whole life. But it's pretty good, yeah.
I like their product, but from what I've
seen. No, I'm only kidding. I have actually watched a lot of it. It's very good, actually. I think they're excellent.
Yeah, it's a good company.
I think it's great.
I
think it's great, yeah.
I
think it's great. There's a lot of talented people that have come through there and worked there. And,
sure.
You know, if you watch, like, going back to almost like maybe a couple of years after ECW went out of business, some of the guys that were working with us and then, you know, some of the other talent that's come in there and, you know, ended up wrestling for, you know, WWE or now AEW, a lot of people came out of there or started there or still are there. But there's a ton of talent there. Yeah, definitely.
I was on their first pay-per-view.
You were?
Yeah. You had to pay $10 to see it from the Nashville Fairgrounds.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you had to pay $10 to get on to the pay-per-view.
No. They paid me, dear.
They paid you for working?
They paid me for working. Do you believe that?
Wait a minute. Wait. You get paid to do this?
The best is when we're at
What are you
Rockaway.
Talking about?
Wait, Chris, we're at the Rockaway Mall. And this guy comes to the table, and Chris is sitting with me at my table. And the guy buys a picture from me, right? And he pays whatever. And then he says to Chris, "Can I take a picture with you?" Chris goes, "Sure." And he just gets up and takes the picture, and the guy walks away. And I go, "Chris, next time, get the money before you take the picture." Like, that's a rule around here.
Chris goes, "And what did I say?
I get paid for this?" I'm like, "You do."
No clue. No clue.
Take the money from them before you do the picture.
And you probably thought that I was joking, but I was not joking. I don't know if I get paid. I get paid for pictures.
That's
it's
hilarious.
So foreign to me, Franny, being away from this for so long, to be honest with you. Like, it's so foreign to me to, like, I feel bad. Like,
for what?
Like, hey, I don't know. I just, again, I'm so out of this for so long. Like, I don't know. This is not what I do anymore. So I almost feel like, oh, all right, yeah, you go.
Bad taking money. But guess
what? I sign thousands of documents a day. Like, nobody asked me to pay me to pay my, put my name on things.
Look,
so
this is, yeah. they know that they're going to spend money when they come to these conventions.
I got to get it in my head. Like, hey,
you know,
having a blast. Yeah.
Your friends shooting the shit, catching up. Do you feel like you would like to do more? I mean, I know you're taking it slow, but in all seriousness, like, I will try and help you if you want me to.
Listen, I'll be honest. I miss using that part of the brain, like the creative part, to do something cool and creative and come up with different ways to entertain people. I want to do it again. Whether I do it in the ring or if there's another way for me to do it, I would love to be a part of it. I would. I don't know how many more matches I'm going to work. I would probably say that I'm going to do more. I don't know how many more. But, you know, we'll see. You know, I don't want to say that I'm going to do something and not follow through and do it. So I haven't really made anybody any promises that I'm going to come do anything or, you know, I haven't booked anything else because I really just haven't decided. I mean, I'm kind of torn on what I want to do, and I would like to do something, but I just haven't decided exactly what yet. But
well,
I would like to do something with the business, and maybe make a couple of bucks. I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe make some money in the process. Well,
I mean, you know, hey, would it be the end of the world to make a few dollars from the wrestling business after 30 years of doing it? I mean,
it would not. And you know what, Chris? It's okay. At your age, you'll still get booked for signings. And this, I'm telling you, the signings are the easiest thing you can do without physical damage to your body. That's what I do.
I can work, Franny. I can.
Right.
And I can, you know, I can do it. Okay. It's just a matter of, do I really want to do it?
I hear you.
Listen, again, I started doing martial arts again. I feel great. But I just don't really know. I don't know.
Yeah. Can we?
I'm generally confused. So, well, you know,
here, look, and I did.
How long you know me? You know, I'm always confused about something, Franny. Come on, I know nothing.
I'm trying to help you. When we were at the Wrestling Universe, I picked up the phone and made a call, and I tried to get you on the show. Remember?
I know, and we got shut down basically immediately. You're like, you got to book Chris Jetty, and you got hung up on. You're like, hello, hello, hello. Is anybody there? Hello, hello.
He did not hang up.
No, I'm just kidding. I know. I'm only kidding. I know. I'm just kidding. I was making a funny. Ha ha.
So funny. You should be at WrestleCon. Like, you should be there this year because it's in Philly. It has a big ECW presence, and you were a part of ECW. You know, it doesn't help that you're not on socials, because
I am on socials. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm everything.
You don't use them. You have to.
But I'm on there. People can get in touch with me. They can find me. They know I'm there.
Oh my God. They don't know you're interested if you're not out there. Like, you have to.
Oh, you mean like all the people that email me or tag, whatever it's called, like they private message me and say, hey, do you want to do this? And I just never answer them. Am I supposed to answer those people?
If you don't tweet in the last 2 years, people probably think that you're like either dead or that you just don't care. You know what I'm saying? There's no presence there. If you start,
my next tweet is going to be, I'm not dead.
No, your next tweet should be, I am available for bookings. Contact
no.
me.
No.
Why?
My next tweet will be, Francine told me that I'm supposed to tell people I'm not dead.
I'll pop if you tweet that. That would be great.
My exact next tweet.
I'm going to retweet it, and I'm going to say, this guy is available for bookings. Who wants some? WrestleCon? I'm going to tag everybody.
Listen, you tried to help me.
Yeah.
You tried to help me 5 years ago or whenever I got on Twitter. Maybe it was 10 years ago. How long have you been on Twitter?
I've been on Twitter for five.
You've been on Twitter a while.
Yeah, 5 or 6 years.
All right. So when you first got on Twitter, we got in touch on Twitter and you put out a tweet and said, follow my friend Chris Chetty. And I think I got like 3 followers out of that.
I started following you.
You did? So now I got 4 followers. So now I have like a total of like 11 followers. So
there you go.
With my 11 followers.
Look, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to put it out there again. I'm going to find you. I don't know how, because I don't even know.
My name, Chris Chetty. It's pretty simple. I made it easy.
Okay.
Maybe I should have come up with something clever, like.
Like real Chris Chetty.
No, it doesn't need to be clever. It needs to be easy. And it couldn't be any easier than at Chris Chetty. Right there.
I've tried to make it as simple as possible so that if somebody typed in my name, they could find me. But
it
there's actually a fake
Chris Chitty. At Chris Chitty.
Chris Chitty. I should have done at Chris Chitty.
You
right.
missed the boat on that one. Oh my God.
I missed the damn boat.
Listen.
I'm sure that somebody right now as we speak is making an at Chris Chitty on Twitter. At Chris Chitty.
It
right
looks
now.
Like a picture of your, is this a picture of your dog with a Santa hat on?
It is, absolutely,
sure,
yes. And
in
the background, I have the Shogun of Harlem. Come on, don't you know about him?
You should just put a picture.
You're not a
of
fan
that
of The Last Dragon?
No,
we might
want to
put. We might want to put a picture of Chris Chetty in there, though.
Yeah, I
you
think?
Think?
Chris, put a picture of the pizza that you made. That beautiful pizza that you showed me. Oh my God, he's frozen.
I don't want to be like one of those people that's like, "Hey, look at me." I don't want to do that.
Well, I'm going to do it for you. Look, I promote myself all the time. You are your brand. No one knows that you're available if you don't put it out there. So you can either be mediocre and take a booking every 6 months, or you can try to get back in the mix and hang out with us because we're the cool kids and we have so much fun on the road. So, you know, I'm here to help if you want it. But I do think... You're not giving yourself enough credit. You were a big part of ECW, just like the rest of us were. And I feel like you deserve to be at WrestleCon. You really do. So if any promoters are listening and you have space available, he's in driving, he can drive. He doesn't need a flight. So we're saving you money on that, right?
I mean, how much easier does it get?
You're close enough. We're going to work on that. We have a month. We have about a month to figure this out. All right. We're
at Chris Shitty at WrestleCon. Come on.
Look, you, is this the first interview you've ever done?
In my life? No. Yeah, I've done a couple. I did a virtual signing. This is probably the first podcast I've ever done.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is the first podcast.
Oh, well, you know, I think so. Do I remember? I'm trying to remember back that.
I think I've never heard you on any other shows.
Yes.
Well, listen, let's close this episode out with Toothy. Because Toothy is my favorite.
Yeah. Chad, you know what? I forgot to bring. I still have Toothy, by the way.
I just forgot to bring him with me.
I still have it. Of course, I still have it.
So Chris had this really rotten tooth.
Well, my tooth, I hit the guardrail and I cracked my tooth. And of course, as professional wrestlers, since we get hurt all the time and, you know, get banged up, we have no health insurance, which makes total sense. So I had no dental insurance and my tooth was broken for a while. It was terrible. And I had to get the tooth taken out. And I carried it around for years. They give you like a little plastic tooth on a string. And I wore Toothy with me for forever. I mean, I had Toothy with me. Everywhere I went, Toothy came with me. He was part of me. I couldn't let him go.
Every time I would see him, I would give Chris a hug and a kiss. And I would say, "Where's Toothy?" And he'd pull Toothy out. I'd say hello to Toothy because he was on the road with us. He was one of the boys. I love Toothy.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Well, this part of the show, I usually say, where can people find you and what do you have coming up? In your case, that would be absolutely nothing.
If you want to find me,
yeah,
you got to do a lot of work. That's number one.
Are you defending the tag belts anytime soon?
I would assume that I'm probably going to do that at some point. Yeah.
Not anytime soon, though? It's not booked yet?
It's not booked yet. Nobody booked the big angle yet. So okay. When the big angle gets booked,
okay,
you know. Yeah. That'll be something to announce. I mean, come on.
All right.
Title defenses. Come on. That's big time.
At Chris Chetty on Twitter.
At Chris Chetty. I'm on Facebook as Chris Chetty myself. And I really went nuts on Instagram and I made it at Chris Chetty.
I don't think we follow each other on Instagram. I hate Instagram, but I will.
Yeah, I'm not big on Instagram. I can't figure it out. I haven't spent that much time. I don't know how to do the story thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how to get pictures. People send me things. I don't know how to get people. I don't know how to let people in or let people out. I don't have time. I have something there. I just don't know exactly what's on there. So
So Instagram is a bust. It's a waste to follow you on.
No, you can get into, you can follow me. It'll pretty much be like following me on Twitter. It'll be there, but you'll never get any content from me. Yeah.
Yeah, you're terrible.
I do put stuff on Facebook, does anybody use Facebook anymore?
I don't. I don't like Facebook.
Nobody does?
I use it once a year. Is that like a Disney drop?
Is that a thing of the past?
I think it's like MySpace.
Is it?
I think so.
I'm on MySpace? I'm on the new version of MySpace.
Is there
That's
a new
unacceptable.
Version? There's a new
yes,
version.
Yes, it's called Facebook. It's called Facebook.
We will talk because I feel like there's a market for you and I want you to do it. So I'll help you. That's what I do. I help people. Ask Chad.
She does.
I do.
You do?
Who do you think gets
Chad, you've been very quiet, Chad.
I just what I do on
as a co-host. I was expecting a little bit more out of the co-host, a little, you know. Some shit, busting out some shit, saying some funny lines,
I produce, I got you back on the show twice. You know, I kind of fill my role. You guys shoot the breeze. I'm just here for the eye candy.
Oh, okay.
He's the eye
okay.
candy.
Well, he's the eye candy. Well, there you go. That was some funny shit right there.
Right, yeah. I got you.
He's got a million of them.
I got you.
All right. Well, I'm glad you came on. I thought you were kayfabing me. I was. When I saw him, I was like,
Franny, you know I don't kayfabe you.
Pete.
Never.
No,
I just never did a podcast before, so this is my first one.
I broke
it. Only took us. How long have you been doing a podcast?
5 years. 5 years.
So it only took me 5 years to get on here. So it's pretty good. I'm pretty consistent with everything else.
That's time though, Chris, because now I'm on iHeartRadio. So we blew up.
Well, that's what I was waiting for. Hello, what did you think I was doing?
Well, pick a spot as well.
What is iHeartRadio? Is that something? Oh, I don't know about this. Is that a thing?
Stop. I gotta get you.
Kind of a big deal. Kind of a big deal.
You gotta catch me up to the year 2000. Oh, wait a minute. We're past 2000? You gotta catch me up to the year 2020.
You are a lost cause.
Four. Yes.
Chris has, but in all honesty, Chris has a beautiful family, beautiful children, a beautiful wife. You've won the lottery of life, my friend, because family is everything, and you're doing fine. So, you know, if you can come back to the dark side once in a while, it's all good. We'll take care of you.
Every now and then.
Look, I don't do it every single weekend. I only do it when the money's right, you know?
Yeah.
This month, I got lucky. I have 3 weekends that I'm booked. So I'm a busy little bird this weekend, but, you know, this month. But we'll get you going. So I'll be in touch. But thank you for choosing me as your first. It's wonderful. It was great.
I love it. Thank you.
Yes, all the stories were great. And have a safe trip. And if I can... he ran over that gimmick where you wake yourself up. I'm going to try to get you on WrestleCon.
Oh, I did that on purpose for you.
Did you? Thank you. Right. Well, it was a good one. So I'll talk to you soon. But everybody, that was Chris Chetty at Chris Chetty.
All right, we'll see you.
He's frozen. And
he's gone. He's frozen. He's gone. We can't bring him back again.
No, we're not going. Watch him click the link to try.
Yeah, come back. Come back for one last gasp. But that was awesome.
I'm telling you, he is one of the nicest, funniest guys ever. So he's, fun.
He sounds like a blast. He sounds like it.
I'm trying to think. Like, I hung out with him so many times. He's just a terrific person and so fun and hilarious. So,
yeah,
promoters, again, if you need somebody for WrestleCon, that's your guy. I'm telling you, great to work with, you know. Oh, he's called. Watch this. Hello.
Yeah, I lost you there at the end. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I love you and thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much.
You were great. And I'll be in touch.
I had fun.
Okay.
All right, cool.
Bye, buddy.
Thanks.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
He's a mess. Yeah. So that was Chris Chetty. So go follow him if you don't already, you know, and we'll try to get him back.
You got to change the picture.
So of we his know dog.
It's him. I mean, it's a beautiful dog. Don't get me wrong. Beautiful dog. But
yeah.
It's a Christmas picture. We got to update the picture.
Oh, yeah.
It could be him with the belt, the new tag straps. Right. It could be an old school picture of the rookie. Could be that.
Yeah.
Toggle the folks of yesteryear's minds.
Well,
something.
He's not a defending champion. I mean, if he's not going to wrestle, you know, to retain the title, like, what good is he? He's got to get out there.
There's definitely there's people out there that are looking for him. I'm sure.
I hope so. We'll try to help him out. But that was fun.
Yes.
Oh, that was fun. Good stories from Chris. Good to hear from him. And he's a good dude.
Nice.
Whew. All right. What do you got? Anything? Anything?
No, that's it. We're out of time.
Right. We're out of time. All right.
We're out of time. We got to go.
It, everybody. Where can people find you if they want to?
You can find me on Twitter at Chad EMB. You can find me on Instagram at IB Exclusives. You can find me every week here on IB Exclusives. You can find me every week here on Eyes Up Here. And don't forget to go to YouTube. Eyes Up Here with the ECW Diva, Francine. Type that in the search box. Make sure you grab a membership. Subscribe for free if you want. But don't forget to come on over and join us, because we've got a plethora of content that you will not be disappointed if you come check us out.
All right. And if you want to find me on social media across the board, it is at ECW Diva Francine. You know, I don't even know what week we're in now because we're recording two at a time. If you want to see where I'm at, please go to my Twitter or X, as it's called now. And all of my bookings are listed on the page. I hope you're staying safe. I hope you are staying healthy. And most of all, I hope you are staying extreme.